Lessons from the Lev Parshas Vayishlach. Great schus to be able to dedicate this year. L'zecher Nishmas, my dear grandfather. Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Nachman Dov is your side is this week. Last week, Lessons from the Lev, please refer to it. We spoke about that YU Torah Mada is alive and well. We spoke about that inyun of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu combining in his Tzula Mutz of Arza those two ideas based on Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's beautiful interpretation of that dream. That's who my grandfather was, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak, Jacob I. Hartstein, one of the founders of Yeshiva University, certainly believed in that. And I was giving that to Dvar Torah last week. I kept thinking of him and that true belief. In this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu, of course, is focused, as Rashi cites, on the strategy in meeting his brother. And we know that this strategy is so important. There is a minhag for people who are traveling to read this parsha. And in fact, there's a wonderful story that's told that when Menachem Begin, then Prime Minister of Eretz Yisrael, was making his first trip to the United States to visit the president and other officials, he went to see Rav Shach to figure out and to understand, to get a bracha and an etza of how to conduct himself. Rav Shach told him that he should study this confrontation in the beginning of our parsha between Yaakov and Esav. Esav, of course, the forerunner of Edom, the nation of Edom, represented the physical embodiment of the nemesis of the Jewish people. Study how Yaakov was able to weather the challenges which he faced. And of course, these are the challenges that we ourselves face in our own generation. After 20 years of separation, Yaakov will now meet his brother again, who of course we know wanted to kill him. And this, the Midrash relates, as I said, that this is an integral part, whether it was the heads of Rome, they would study in depth the guidelines that are pointed out in the parsha. Yaakov arms himself, Rashi tells us, with three strategies in confronting Esav. Tefillah, gifts, and being ready for battle. It is pointed out in understanding these three approaches, Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, in his Sefer Nerlam Or, says that these three tactics were in fact not separate. Rather, Yaakov Avinu prepared himself to bribe Esav, and if that didn't work, he was prepared to engage in battle. However, both of the tactics revolved around one key and important idea, and that is tefillah. Yaakov knew no matter what he did to prepare for his confrontation, ultimately tefillah was needed for the Ribbono Shel'olam would decide which approach would work. Rabbi Yeshua Hoffman, Rabbi Josh Hoffman points out in his Divrei Torah that we say in Asana Tokif, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we scream, Tshuva Tfilu Tztokam Avir Nesroya HaGezerah. That is, through the actions of repentance, tefillah, prayer, and charity and tztaka, that will remove the evil decree. So he quotes, in the name of Yosef Dov Soloveitchik Zatzal, that these are not three independent tactics that remove the evil decree, but rather they are two methods. It's tshuva through tefillah, repentance through prayer, and tefillah through tztaka. Therefore, in regard to confronting the physical Esav, we use either or both a bribe and a battle array, but always coupled with tefillah. when confronting the inner Esav, the spiritual challenge from within, we begin first with tshuva, making ourselves better, and then tefillah. Why the difference? Says Rabbi Hoffman, the answer lies in a difference between the nature of these two confrontations. The two confrontations, the physical and the spiritual. So the physical Esav, that confrontation, one has to remember that even though we are responsible to do all that we can to prevent from this physical harm, it is the Ribbono Shalom. Always remember it is God, not us, who runs the world, who decides the outcome of every confrontation. Need look no further than the Six-Day War and all of the great challenges of the Jewish people. Most recently, 50 soldiers on a bus get off the bus moments, seconds before the bus is annihilated by a missile coming from Hamas, Yimach Shemo. And it was the driver who was Arab who said, Elohim Shelahem, your God, I don't understand, he's watching you. All I merely did is turn the bus around the same direction and was hit. 50 soldiers would have died. Moments before they were singing Al Hanisim, not knowing what miracle was about to happen. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us of Rabbi Lezer ben Dudai, the famous Baal Tshuva. The Gemara says, on Daf Yud Zayin, that when he asked the heavens, the mountains, the rivers to daven for him, to pray for him, they refused. He realized that the matter is dependent only upon me. The Gemara says his tefillos were received. They were merited for a portion that he would receive in Olam Haba. When we say tshuva tefilu tztaka ma'avir nesroya zegezer on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's through the tefila, through the tztaka, we can suggest that tefila and tztaka reflect two basic kinds of tshuva all in one. Represented by tefillah is a transformation of our personality, a return fully to Hashem. Another represented by tztaka, in which we change slowly, mitzvah by mitzvah, in becoming a better person as we do through giving tztaka. The confrontation reminds us that it is only through us. We can blame nobody else in the process, in the challenges that we have, in changing ourselves. How important the element of tefillah is, and different forms of tefillah, but always recognizing that everything comes through the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that, in fact, is an integral part. The Sfas Emes reminds us of this as well in our parasha. In this meeting, in this preparation of gifts, tefillah, and milchama, so he compares it to the war we have against our Yetzihara every single day. Sfas Emes says that we have to prepare ourselves in such a manner that he will undoubtedly achieve lofty levels in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says the Sfas Emes, this is alluded to every day. We say Kriya Shema. When we say Kriya Shema, we say, U'la'avdoi, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem. We should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources, chol me'odecha, with all your heart, tefillah, avodah shebalev, with all your soul, giving your life, war. Chazal tell us, we serve Hashem even to the point of giving up his life, the ultimate form of Kiddush Hashem. Chol Moedecha, gifts, the requirement to give staka. It's exactly the vort that we just said. We arm ourselves in understanding how we approach the Ribbono Shalom. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah is the approach, but coming through the tefillah is supposed to change us. The form, lehit palel, is not as we call it tefillah, we call it to pray. Unfortunately, that's an incorrect interpretation, because prayer comes from a Latin word, to beg. And that's not what tefillah is about. It's not begging God for things that he really doesn't want to give us, but we want, and therefore we beg him, and then he says, okay, like a father does, and says, okay, I don't want to give you the keys to the car, but no, you asked so nicely. No. It's a transformation. Lehit palel is doing something to us. Lehit labish. What does it mean, lehit labish? Is I'm clothing myself. I'm doing something for myself. I'm doing tshuva for myself. Because when I tefillah, it's supposed to be a transformative essence of the person. Yaakov was teaching us the hakol kol Yaakov. The kol of Yaakov is tefillah. A few years ago we said that in fact was the bracha that Yaakov got from his father Yitzhak. Remember your kol Yaakov. It's unique. The kol of Torah and tefillah. That's why he says it twice. Tefillah is transformative. It's supposed to change who you are. And maybe that's what staka does as well. You recognize it's not all coming from me. This is not my money. I'm glad to give it away. Last week's parsha, the whole beautiful discourse in halacha, aser ta aser, but really the first source is last week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu says that he gave everything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. 10%, 20% maybe even. The chiyuv of understanding that not everything and not anything really comes from us. It all comes from Hashem. And in fact, in the Hakdama for Tefillah Kehilchasa, the author reminds us of the Gemara in Brachos, Davavim the days. HaTefillah Chazal tell us min HaDvarim Aleim Amru Chazal Koyim Zulus B'nei Adam. People don't treat it so important. Elu Dvarim Ha'oim D'Berumo Shalaylam. Ubnei Adam mezalzim b'hem. They desecrate it. The Tanchum and Parshas Vayera. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Havi zehira mitzvilah. She'ein mida achres yaf yemenu. There's no greater character trait than understanding what tefillah can do for you. And that's why he writes, and of course why he wrote the Sefer. It has such a huge chelak in halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe this gives us pause to learn the halachas of tefillah, to understand how to look when we are davening, how to act. What tefillah is supposed to do, it's not supposed to be this quick thing that we do just to be yaitzei zayin so we can check we did it. How we look when we daven, how we act when we daven, what we use when we daven. Are we davening from an actual sitter or maybe our own sitter? Somebody came up to me this morning in davening and said, "Nu Nebuch, you live in Eretz Yisrael, you can't afford a new sitter, look at your sitter." I said, "No, this is my sitter. I've had this sitter for so many years. It has everything in it." That's what Yaakov Avinu reminds us of. The power of tefillah, it's like nothing else. It reminds us who's in charge, who's boss, and that I have to be better. I have to be a better person to make me a better person. The Ribbono Shel Olam looks at this new person and he says, okay, things have changed. Staka changes a person as well. That's, of course, the idea. Changes a person. This week, I'll tell a personal story that's embarrassing, I think. Maybe not. But if it'll help anyone through the challenges that you own have. So my family knows, specifically my wife, how crazy I am about Tefillah B'Tzibur. And in fact, in the introduction, Tefillah Kehilchasa, his first sefer was called Tefillah B'Tzibur. Wonderful sefer my father gave to me. So he says, because that's what it starts with. Understanding that I'm a part of a tzibur. I need a better example than the great snowstorm, which I'll tell about in a moment, Everybody's talking about that flight that landed in Athens. I know more than one person on that flight, and everybody's reporting about the Achdus that Shabbos. You had Hasidim who had, they didn't have their clothes. They didn't have proper clothes. They looked like a regular person. There was a guy wearing, a Chassid was wearing a t-shirt and a tzitzis. That's all he had. And everybody was taking care of each other. What tefillah? Recognizing and realizing what it is to be ba'achdus, to be together, to take down all the barriers that we normally have. And what it does to be part of a tzibur. So, as it were, as we know, this is the hardest time of the year, techapa mincha. Wherever you are, Baruch Hashem, there are great mincha resources to see where there are minyanim. I just want to give a shout out. I don't know whose this is, but it's helped me tremendously. Kosher GPS tells you where the closest minyan is. It's a great, great app. Unfortunately, it doesn't work in Eretz Yisrael, but you shouldn't really need it in Eretz Yisrael. It's a minyan always close. And happens to be that on that app and advertised in a local newspaper, there's a mincha right by where I work. I'm in Totowa, New Jersey, in the middle of nowhere. There happens to be a kosher dairy farm called Devash Farms that has an office there. So I was going to chapa mincha. And I was thinking and doing all the thing. I happened to be at the famous kosher fest, and there were mincha minyanim there. I said, let me daven more benachas in a normal location. And I showed for minchas advertised at 4 o'clock. And the Hasidim say, we're so sorry. This season, we decided to start davening at 3 because it's more noich for people. And that was it. It's now even before Shkia. I was very upset. I should have done more research. I tried to call, but nobody answered. Tefillah Shabbos should bother you that I can't daven the tzibur. It's not just about davening. It's being part of a tzibur, being part of this orchestra, everyone coming with their own kaychas. And I felt horrible about that. And it was not just 2 days later. It started snowing. I said, I'm not making a mistake this time. I got to make it back. It's about a 25-minute drive back to Teaneck. And because of the snow, I gave myself an hour and 15 minutes. Crazy. I got in the car, and Baruch Hashem, everything's perfect. 4:15, I'm going to land in the Teaneck area. Perfect mincha time, 10 minutes before mincha. And as everybody knows, every story goes, on this fateful evening, there was going to be no mincha of any kind. I head out maybe 5 minutes. It takes me a half hour. Waze keeps telling me, it's recalculating. Now I'm going to get to Teaneck at 4:35, almost Peshkia. So I get smart. I say, well, I'll go to Fairlawn, 10 minutes closer, 4:15 again. Very quickly, after 2 minutes of driving, we're back at 4:15, 4:35. Psaic's even closer, 4:15 again. V'chulu, v'chulu. I'm now only about 8 minutes away from my office, and there's no mincha. Now I realize it's not even safe to drive anymore. I have a little car, skidding and so on and so forth, and I try to turn around. Lucky, I got back to my office after the driving conditions were absolutely horrible. People, Baruch Hashem, great, good Samaritans, pushed me out to get me up a hill and so on and so forth. And I come back to the office, and I look around. They say, wait a minute, we almost have a minyan. It was a few minutes for Shoshkia, perfect. And there was only 8. Ugh, no. But I think that there was a lesson, the fact that it actually bothered me so much. But here I could taina the first day, a few days ago. No, I didn't miss what I was supposed to do. I went to a mincha. No, what does the Rabbanu Shalom want from me? And a few days, what did you go to Rabbanu Shalom want from me? I traveled for an hour, and I only made it 8 minutes away. No, but it still bothers you. Because Yaakov Avinu, Kol Yaakov, reminds us of the power of tefillah and tefillah b'tzibur. Ah. Change yourself. That's what Yaakov, that was the battle he knew with Esau that he was going to win with that battle. And that's what Stucker does as well. The first idea of Neria's idea, the first idea, it's through the tefillah of Stucker. It's through the tefillah's understanding what it means. That's the idea. Let's be mechazik, our tefillah b'tzibur, understanding how important it is and what it should mean to us. It should really mean to us how important and how beautiful tefillah is, dafka, in the difficult times of the winter, where it's not easy to chapa mincha. I have to tell you something, after staying at my office for hours and hours, I was a little hesitant. Should I daven Ma'ariv maybe? And as I'm driving, I was like, well, how could I not daven Ma'ariv with a minyan? Will there be people there at the minyan at 9 o'clock? Yep. Plenty of people want to come out to daven. Shed our schedules around, making sure we're davening, not chas v'sholem. I can't even imagine not even davening at all. It's impossible to even think something like that. But certainly, how we can make minyanim, the transformative nature that he has, that we learn, ma'isa ovo siman labonim, greeting Esav through tefillah, something that you can never take away from us, our tefillah. We learned the lesson too well a few weeks ago in Pittsburgh. It should remind us how important our tefillahs are. The power of the tefillah that we have is supposed to be transformative. Lehit palel. It's supposed to do something to us each time. We should be zeicha to take the ideas of our great forefather Yaakov and the combination of Avram and Yitzchak, the Shachris, the Mincha, the Ma'ariv, and of course the Ma'ariv being the most difficult, the darkness of the day, and be able to see the Ailel HaShachar, the coming of Mashiach, Zidkeinu, the Meheir of Yamina.